Thank you, Matthew, for putting the sound on. Thank you, Song Sisters, for that lovely piece of music to start our Harvest Sunday. Just a few announcements to get rid of before we start our service properly. First of all, tea and coffee will be available for anyone who wants to go into the Young People's Hall or the Community Hall following our worship. Due to the fact of instrument and bandsmen, we're not able to hold our open air this morning. We're sorry about that, but it's just not possible. But this afternoon at 3:30, you're invited to come back to here for a messy church. And as long as you're prepared to clear up after you, then you can make as much mess as you like. But it's not just for children. Anyone who wishes to come along is welcome. On Wednesday at 1:30, Friends Together will meet once again. And band and songster rehearsals are still continuing this coming week. Next Sunday, our worship will be conducted by Major David and Linda Squirrel. The big collection, that's a word for salvationists that puts fear into knocking on doors and asking people for money. Well, we haven't done it for 2 or 3 years, and you're probably happy when I say we're not doing it this year. But the big collection raised a lot of money in the army to help many different people. And so if you're able to make a donation, instead of dedicating yourself to doing a district, if you would like to give a donation, we have a box in the foyer, a wooden box, and if you would like to put your contribution there, you'll be supporting the Salvation Army's social services. Or speak to Paul. If you want to make a big check, then he can take it off you so that it's security. He loves taking money from you, I can tell you. Now, you thought it was all over, but it's not. Because the songsters are going to bring another harvest song to you, and then the captain will lead us in our worship. And so here's the songsters, this time with Thank People. Thankful people. I'll finish before they do.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship here. Thanks for setting the scene so wonderfully and instilling a sense of excitement already this morning. I do not like taking money off of people. But I love it when people give in recognition of God's provision and in praise of Him. I love it when people give their money, their time, their talent in an offering of praise to God. And that thought is going to shape our worship together this morning, because this will culminate in us giving our harvest gifts. I hope you have an envelope. If you don't, someone will find you one, so that you're not left embarrassed later on. But equally, sometimes we're not in a position to give, so don't feel pressured either. Lisette is away, you will have noticed. Martha's still here. Lisette is away this week. She's leading the retreat of the Zimbabwean Home League Fellowship. And by the looks of it, she's having a wonderful time. Next week, Lisette and I will both be away because we're involved in the team running the intercultural conference that the Salvation Army runs. And you'll understand why intercultural ministry and worship and life is important to Lisette and I, because it's what we live every day. It's not anything out of the ordinary. Stand and worship together in our singing, and we follow the lead of the band. The fourth verse. Dear Mother Earth, who day by day unfoldest blessings on our way, oh, praise Him, hallelujah, the flowers and fruits that in thee grow, let them His glory also show. And as we sing this fifth verse, I'm still looking for signs that you mean what you're singing. Bandmaster, songster leader. we're going to share together again in a responsive prayer. So I know it's difficult to pray and read, especially on a screen, at the same time. But I know you can do it. It's responsive. What's marked as leader will be me, and what's written as all will be you. And I realise that I've typed this small, so get your binoculars out if you need them. But let us pray together. God of all creation, we give thanks to you for your good gifts to us, for the beauty of creation and its rich and varied fruits. We give thanks to you for your gifts to us, for clean water and fresh air, for food and shelter, for animals and plants. We give thanks to you for your good gifts to us. Forgive us for the times when we have taken the earth's resources for granted. We ask for your forgiveness and seek your help to do better. Forgive us for the times when we have wasted what you have given us. We ask your forgiveness and seek help to do better. Transform our hearts and minds. Renew our minds so that we see and act as you do. Teach us to share and care. Renew our minds so that we see and act as you do. Transform our actions and behaviors. Renew our minds so that we see and act as you do. Father, Creator of all, we give thanks, seek forgiveness, and ask for your renewal. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. And I hope you have been as moved and as challenged as I have in sharing it. We continue with a song of praise and adoration, and we give thanks to God for all that he is and all that he has provided for us. Let's sing together. It's rock and roll, John. I'm ready. Yeah.
Thank you.
Next time, we'll sing that standing up, because I saw some ants in pants itching. So we will remedy that in the future. Here it is. I found it. Lovely jubbly. Who wants to come up and join me? You don't have to, but it would help. Who wants to come and join me? Oh, good. Felicity and Martha are moving. Ayla. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm winning. Lovely. I'm going to give you a piece of paper. I want you to hold it high and face everyone else. Okay? Hold that piece of paper. Hold it high and face that way, okay? And look at everyone else. Piece of paper. Ha 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 ha! Oh, will we be revealed? Here we go, Hudson. How are you? What is your name? Hello, Hattie. Pleased to meet you. I'm Paul. So here we go. Hold up your pieces of paper. I want to see them. So these pieces of paper represent you. So this piece of paper is now called Ayla. This piece of paper is called Felicity. This piece of paper is called Martha. This piece of paper is called Hudson. This piece of paper is called Hattie. And this piece of paper is called Matthew. Okay? How many corners does your piece of paper have? 4. Thank you, Felicity. So, the 4 corners of the piece of paper represent everything that you are. Everything that belongs to you. All of your favourite things. What's your favourite thing, Ayla?
Playing with my dog.
Playing with your dog. That's one of your corners. What's one of your favourite things? Going swimming at the swimming pool. That's one of your corners. What's your favourite thing, Martha?
I love playing with my toys.
Playing with your toys. That's one of your corners. Hudson, what's your favourite thing to do?
I'm in the nursery.
Going to nursery. Matthew, what's your favourite thing to do?
Singing.
That's one of your corners. Hattie.
Drawing.
So that's one of your corners. But the other corners will be really important stuff. Like your mum and dad. Like the food you eat. Okay? Like the house that you live in. Or perhaps the grown-ups. The money that we've got that pays for all of these things. The paper represents you. The corners represent what is important for you. But God sometimes asks us to give things to him. And he'll take one of those corners. So, Ayla, I'm taking away walking your dog. God is taking away. I'm taking away swimming. I'm taking away playing with your toys. I'm taking away going to nursery and playing with your friends. Can you hold on to this? No, this side. I'm taking away singing, Matthew, I'm sorry. And Hattie, I'm taking away drawing. Sometimes God asks us to give things away. And it's difficult, isn't it? It can be difficult, and we've seen that just now. But guys, that piece of paper still represents you. That piece of paper is still Ayla, it's still Felicity, it's still you. Now I want you to count the corners on the sheets of paper. Matthew, you're right. Look at this. Can I borrow Matthew? How many corners does Matthew have now? He's got 5 corners. And if I said Matthew, and if God said Matthew, the more we give to God, the more we're left with. The more he gives us, the more he blesses us. So remember that, guys. When God asks you to give him something, don't be scared. Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Because his blessings are greater. He will give you more than you give to him. Thank you very much for helping me, but stay here because I've still got one more thing to do. I'm making a mess of the song, so leader, stand.
That's all right.
That's all right. We're going to sing a song. Are you going to do the actions with me? Are you going to follow me? And we're going to sing it together. Let's get organized. Let's get into two neat rows. Two neat rows. We'll have Hudson here. Look at this. I should have been a choreographer. We'll have Martha here. We'll have Felicity here. And the rest of you guys, we'll have you behind. And you're going to follow me, okay? Here we... Thank you very much. 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 Here we go. Jackie, I'm ready. DJ Jackie is in the house.
I just wanna praise you, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanna sing.
what you give to God, even in dancing silly dances, you get more back. Believe you me. Believe you me. We look forward to the ministry of the band, and we have a solo item from John Pilbara this morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Good morning. This morning's reading comes from Mark 6, verses 30 to 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000.
Thanks, Claire. And thanks to the songsters and to the band for the selection of music today. The songsters were a very apt introduction to this morning's worship, so thank you to you. I must also thank Carolyn for the display at the front and at the back, and the various windows that have been so beautifully decorated by various sections, various constituent elements of our course. So thank you for all the effort that went into these. It's really lovely. We are currently living through a cost of living crisis. Food is more expensive on the supermarket shelves. We've seen the prices of fuel fluctuate. The increased cost of gas and electricity present us with the prospect of a cold winter. The cost of many essentials is increasing faster than household incomes, and we are all feeling the pinch. For the average household, this represents an additional £200 expense per month. I can't even cope with my own accent. This represents an additional £200 expense per month. And this affects churches too, with an estimated average shortfall of £20,000 over the next year. The cost of living crisis is inevitably going to put a serious dent into our consumerist culture. We are told, this culture tells us, that our needs can only be met by having, by accumulating more stuff. And all our problems would be solved if only we had this or that. And this leads to a culture of scarcity, because there is always something that we are missing. There is always something that we want, and we are never entirely satisfied with what we have got. If only I had that electronic gadget, it would make this task so much easier. Anonymous testimony. If only I owned that pair of trainers, I would run more and be fitter. If I bought that dress, it would cheer me up. If only I had more time. If only I had more money. Regardless of how much we have, we feel, we think, we are made to feel, we are made to think that we never have enough. And this thought, this feeling, fills us with fear. But it doesn't have to be this way. This fear of not having enough is in complete contrast to the story of the feeding of the 5,000 that Claire read to us a few moments ago. So people are gathering around Jesus. The disciples and Jesus try to get away, but the people follow them. And it seems that they were so engrossed by his teaching that they only realized that they were hungry when evening came. And this problem is relayed to the disciples, but they, the disciples, opt for the easy option of sending the crowd away to find their own food. Easy, but ungenerous option. But Jesus challenges the disciples straight away. You give them something to eat, he says, and a sense of panic sets in among the disciples. Where will we get enough food to feed 5,000 men? That's 5,000 men. We're not counting the women and the children here. How will we afford such a big expense? The disciples' focus is on the lack of food and the shortage of financial resources more generally. The disciples are displaying this attitude of scarcity that I mentioned earlier. They are focused on what they don't have, and they panic. So Jesus asks them to carry out an inventory of whatever food they can find among the crowd. And the disciples come up with 5 paltry loaves and 2 measly fish. Meager rations for such a crowd. But in contrast to the disciples, Jesus focuses not on what they don't have, but on what they do have. 5 loaves and 2 fishes that a few generous souls have handed over to the disciples. And by doing this, Jesus acts out the fact that these resources, meager as they seemed to the disciples, and meager as they seem to us, didn't really belong to their owners in the first place. And he gave thanks to God for them. Jesus demonstrates an attitude of abundance, of plenty, which is quite hard for us to understand, because we would ask, like the disciples, how can this food stretch this far? But something miraculous happened. Now, I want you to think back to the last picnic you planned. For most of us, it'll be the last picnic you attended. And I want you to think of the carefully made sandwiches, the bags of crisps, that little 4-pack of pork pies, the tins or cartons of drink, all carefully packed in a bag or cooler. Now, I want you to think of that bag or cooler after the picnic, the deconstructed leftover sandwich, the crushed bag of crisps, the solitary flattened pork pie soaking up the dregs of a drinks container. It seems to me that we always pack too much for a picnic. So back to our story. I don't know what the exact nature of the miracle was. It could very well have been something supernatural. We are dealing with Jesus here. We are dealing with the Son of God. We cannot discount the supernatural. But it could have also been something far more ordinary, far more down to earth. What if the crowd, spurred on by the generosity of a few, and Jesus' attitude of abundance, this confidence in the face of lack, decided to put their personal needs to one side and dig deep into their reserves, their picnics, if you will, and put them in common with everyone else's, and found that there was more than enough to go around? This, perhaps, is the miracle. In God's economy, abundance breeds further abundance. When we are realistic about our resources and we recognize God's role in providing them, then we end up with plenty to share. Now, this may be an unusual reading of the text for some. But generosity and compassion are at the heart of God's law. So I want to draw your attention briefly to a short passage from God's law, the book of Leviticus, which outlines how the people of God should live. And even though the image in this text I'm going to share is related to farming, its message will speak to us all. This is Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them to the poor and foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Generosity, moderation, compassion are what God expects of his people. Or rather, these are the values that God-fearing people should choose to espouse. Again, there's a sense in that short passage from Leviticus that everything we have belongs to God, and he supplies us just what we need so that we shouldn't need to hoard or plunder, or, for that matter, fear. I don't know. Moment of truth and honesty. I don't know to what extent the teaching I have explored this morning is going to help us in the difficult times that lie ahead. Unfortunately, it's not going to warm our homes or fill our cupboards, and certainly not in the immediate future. And I also need to be absolutely clear that I am not teaching the prosperity gospel where God rewards his people with financial gain. But what I do affirm with certainty is that if Jesus' example had been followed, our economy would not be in the mess it is. Because this story, the feeding of the 5,000, I believe, gives us a helpful insight into the economics of the kingdom of God. And while the implementation of the level of generosity and solidarity seen in this story is beyond us at present, it should remain for us the ideal that we aim for. As God's people, we are called to live as best as we can in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We are called to live according to the values of the kingdom of God. And we should. This, of course, And at this stage in history, is only partially achievable because there are still plenty of structures, if you will, that resist these values of the kingdom of God. Nevertheless, we as Christians, as God's people, should strive as best as circumstances allow us to implement these kingdom values with regards to our resources, our money, our time, our talent. We should adopt that attitude of abundance and place generosity and solidarity at the forefront of our decision making. I recognize that my discourse today might sound naive, and I'm always willing to be challenged, and I always say that in a slightly threatening way. I'm willing to be challenged, but I know that I'm right. And I know that the Word of God is right. My discourse might sound naive, particularly in view of the challenges that we are facing that seem to have little prospect of getting better. But what I have described is the ideal that we should all be striving for in finding generosity, the opportunities to exercise generosity and solidarity in everything that we do. But I can't feel that this alternative approach, alternative to the consumerist culture that we are told is everything, the pursuit of endless and continual growth. We seek an alternative to that, where being satisfied with what we've got, recognizing where it comes from, and making sure that resources are shared justly, is exactly what the world needs. So shortly we're going to sing another hymn, and during that time you will have the opportunity to put this into action by giving in our harvest altar service. This is not a duty. This is not a tradition. But we give in recognition that what we do have comes from God and is put to better use when it is shared. So we're going to sing song number 56. A song of praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. This is what we're singing. We are praising God. And we are praising God through our giving this morning. That's why we give. Because we recognize what we've got, meager as it might be, but still that we are challenged to give nonetheless. So we're going to sing together. There's 5 verses, so there's plenty of time. And this is what I would like us to do. We'll start here, and we'll work ourselves back on what's my left-hand side, your right. And we'll make a U-turn, come all the way down this side, and finish off with the band. The Bible is open, and this is where we invite you to place your gifts. Let's stand and sing together. To the Lord we thank you. him. Let us close our eyes, bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would accept our sacrifice of praise this morning, Lord. And that it would be put to good use in furthering the mission of this core, and also in furthering the mission of the Salvation Army in the east of England. Lord, we recognize this morning that everything that we have comes from you. And that when we exercise generosity and solidarity with others, you reward us, not necessarily financially, but in even greater ways. Bless my friends that have given this morning. And may we do everything that we do. May we give everything that we give. May we be everything that we are. May we do it all in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats, because I know that it's a long time. Next year, harvest, we're going to do it differently. And this is the influence of Lisette and me. In Africa, giving is the high point of the worship, and it's the rejoicing bit. We do it all so solemnly, don't we? Why? We are praising the God that provides for us. So next year, God willing, we're going to do it in rejoicing. Yeah? Lovely. We're going to sing a mega, to close our worship this morning, we're going to sing a super ironic song, because none of us plough or scatter, but we all benefit from those that do. So let's sing together before I pronounce the benediction, and we can enjoy continued fellowship together as we share a cup of tea and coffee and maybe a biscuit if you're not on a diet. Voice for that one. My range is not sufficient. I don't think there's many people here that can sing that, but you did, so thank you. Let me bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the broad expanse of God's love and the abundance of his riches and glory shape your perspective on your own life and needs, including those things which disappoint you. May the eyes of your heart be open to all the blessings which surround you. May this awareness produce a harvest of generosity in your spirit. May thankfulness rise up within you, not just during this short season, but day after day, from the early morning watch until you retire for the night. May your prayers reflect gratitude while also acknowledging the needs of others whose situations are so drastically different. May thoughts of Jesus fill your mind, and hunger for God drive your soul, and love for Lord guide your speech and your actions. And finally, may the grace, peace, and love of the triune God protect, defend, and empower you to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Amen.